Welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we're talking about the Oregon Trail video game.
The old dusty Oregon Trail.
Not the actual Oregon Trail.
No. Don't ask me history questions.
Gotcha. All right. The Oregon Trail is an edutainment strategy game developed and published by Minnesota Educational Computing Consortium, or MECC. It was first released in 1985 for the Apple II, with later ports to DOS in 1990, Mac OS in 1991, and Microsoft Windows in 1993. The game was designed to teach school children about the pioneer life of the Oregon Trail by assuming the role of a wagon leader guiding a party of settlers from Independence, Missouri to Oregon's Willamette Valley via covered wagon in 1848.
So this game has a lot of history. Are you ready?
Does it have as much history as the actual Oregon Trail?
It actually might.
Wow.
So are you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. So, Eric, I'm going to take you back all the way before we were born to 1971.
Wow.
Yeah, there was this random dude named named Don Rewitzk.
So random.
Yeah, so random. Well, back then he was random anyways. He was a senior at Carrollton College in Northfield, Minnesota, and he was an assistant teacher for an eighth grade history class.
So this wasn't like a computer guy.
No. His major was history and education. And so I guess everyone who is an education major at this college, it sounds like their senior year, they had to do like an assistant teaching gig.
So being forced to teach eighth graders as part of your curriculum.
Yep.
Sounds cruel.
And he had an idea for a game to try to make the lesson more interesting to the students.
Because there's nothing interesting about the original Oregon Trail.
Yeah. I mean, I think this game definitely helped. I'll put that up there. So he recruited his two friends slash roommates, who were also student teachers in the same like school as him, Paul Dillenberger and Bill Heineman. And so originally, this game was built out like a board game. So okay. Don had built out like all these different cards. I think you use like a dice to roll to like, you know, predict things. Maybe sort of similar to D&D, because I know D&D was really popular in the 70s too.
Yeah, that sounds like fun, like a board game for Oregon Trail.
Yeah, so basically here's his roommates come home one day. He's got this like idea. He's got kind of like a board game sort of built out to it, and he's been sort of mentioning it to his roommates and stuff, but I guess they were all together this day when they had more of a solid plan. You know, they kind of had it made as a board game. And Paul and Bill look at each other and they're like, hey, we could put this on a computer. And like, this is back when computers were really new still. They took up a lot of space and they couldn't really do a whole lot. But they pretty much, they had one class available at the college for programming, and they had both taken it. So, you know, they were like, yeah, let's give it a try.
So they decided to take their board Oregon Trail game for their class and put it onto a computer?
Pretty much. So Paul and Bill, they brought this up to Don, and they're like, hey, we think we could actually put this on a computer, and, you know, it might be a lot cooler. And Don was like, yeah, that'd be cool. Can you have it next week? Luckily, Paul and Bill, you know, they'd been programming a good bit the last 9 months. And so, you know, their skills were pretty good. And they were like, hey, I think we can do this.
Did he need it next week? Because that's when he was starting the lesson? Or
pretty much. Like, he had spent a couple weeks already doing, kind of thinking about the game. And then the lesson was going to start in like 2 more weeks or something. They were going to have to start teaching this. So he needed it by the next week. And they were like, okay, let's do it. weekend.
All right, bro. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, and it was a lot of long nights, a lot of staying at school late, and then they even like were able to bring the computer home with them a couple of times, like in their car, and bring it home and connect it up and work on it at home, which I'm sure was probably a whole adventure on its own. But anyways,
that's fun, needing to take your computer home to work on your program.
Yeah. So pretty much Don's role was more of like a creative director in a way, and Bill and Paul did most of the coding.
Okay. So he had his computer friends help him make the game.
Yeah. And they used HP Timeshare Basic running on a HP 2100 mini computer to write the computer program, you know, to help students learn about life on the Oregon Trail.
Okay, so this was in BASIC, and this was the original text-based game, right?
Yes. So Don debuted this game to his class on December 3rd, 1971. But you have to remember, at this time, you know, like I said, computers were new to education. There were no monitors. So the students played the first version of the game on a teletypewriter, which is basically an electromechanical typewriter you can use to communicate via a phone line with a large mainframe computer. Which, honestly, that's a little bit over my head. But I'm assuming if you know more about computers, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Eric, you build your own computers, so does that make sense to you?
sort of. Yeah, maybe a little bit. But we've talked about other games that have come out for teletype before, so.
Yeah. So basically the game was text-based and paper-based, and students would type out his or her commands on a roll of paper, and then the computer would respond by typing back status updates.
Okay.
So probably not what we played as kids in school. You know, the first version definitely was a different kind of game. Like, you know, no graphics or anything like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, pure text-based.
Yeah. So after they were all done with their student teaching gigs, you know what they did?
What's that?
Take a guess at what could be probably the worst thing to do.
Lots of drugs. They partied hard.
Okay, no, not
they
that.
They prostituted themselves out.
Okay. This isn't the worst thing I guess they could have did. But basically, they printed out the code, carried it away on paper, and deleted all the files. Like, they were like, we're done teaching. No one else gets to use this, I guess. But at least they were smart enough to print it all out. You know, I guess it was probably, you probably didn't have a way to, like, save it onto, like, anything back then. They didn't have zip disks or floppy disks or anything like that. But anyways, they were done teaching. They were like, you know what? We're just going to print out all this. We'll take it with us on paper. And they deleted it off of the computer that they programmed it on, I guess.
I mean, you said that was like the worst thing you could do. But honestly, if they were trying to, like, if they wanted to sell that game, that was probably a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
That way someone else couldn't get their code to sell it instead of them.
True. I guess I just think of, like, all that time they spent coding this and, like, all that hard work that they put into it, and then they're just going to print it off and delete all the files. So then
it might have not been all that much code.
Yeah? Well, yeah. You tell me. So I'll tell you how many lines of code it was in just a second.
Okay.
All right. So after this, the game was lost for a couple of years, or at least, you know, just laying around on some paper.
Yeah.
But then in 1974, Don went to work for the Minnesota Educational Computing Consortium.
Oh, hey.
Yeah,
that sounds familiar.
Remember that? So the MECC. And he was like, you know what? I still have all this code on paper. So in 1974, during Thanksgiving break, or, you know, during Thanksgiving, he took home a portable teletype device and typed in 800 lines of code. So is 800 lines of code a lot, Eric?
No.
All right. I'm sure back then that was a lot. In 74, do you think that was a lot?
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe.
800 lines of looking at something and retyping it, though, does sound kind of like a headache. At least for me.
Not that bad.
A lot of room for error. Because, well, I make a lot of mistakes when I type, but whatever. So, all right, then boom. It was available on the MECC system that served schools across the state. after that, it was basically a best kept state secret for 5 years until they noticed personal computers were being sold at the local Radio Shack.
What?
Yes. Like, whoa. And so they were like, you know what? I bet education in schools is going to change. They're going to be wanting to get inexpensive computers in to teach, you know, to help with teaching kids. And they were like, our game might be, you know, needed.
Yeah, you know.
People might want this.
They're part of a computing consortium, so they're probably big on the idea of selling a computer game.
Exactly. So they started actually giving it away for free to schools in Minnesota, but they created diskettes with the application on them, and they sent it out to all the schools in Minnesota that I guess didn't have access to it already, or maybe they were getting computers in. But anyways, that was how they got it out to the schools in Minnesota. And so they did that for free because that's kind of where they started. But then eventually...
How is this company making money?
Good question. I don't know. But it took a couple of years, but eventually these diskettes started crossing state borders. So I'm guessing teachers started sending it to their other friends. They were in other states, and so they started getting calls all over the U.S. for this game. Mm-hmm. So at this point, they had converted the code over for Apple II, and they had also added some graphics. So at first, they were somewhat primitive, but by about 1985, a version that had color graphics was available. The computer could also play Pioneer songs while you traveled the trail. And you can now actually shoot things in the game.
Oh, wow. So
this is more of like when the version that we played came about.
Yeah, because that is the version we played was the 1985 version of the game.
Yeah.
And that was on the Visit Oregon's website.
Mm-hmm. So the new version of Oregon Trail continued to prove very popular through the 80s, as did updated Mac and PC iterations that were released in 1990, 1992, 1993, and 1995. At this point, the game was generating about $10 million a year in revenue for MECC.
Cool. So it went from $0 to millions of dollars.
So I'm guessing once it like branched out from Minnesota, they started charging for it.
So it's free for Minnesota. Cost money for everybody else.
I guess that's what I'm assuming, because they did say they were giving away to Minnesota for free unless eventually they started charging them. But I don't know why all of a sudden you would start charging them for a game you've already given them a bunch of copies of for free, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what the actual facts on that are. I'm just kind of assuming a little bit, because like they really didn't go into all that much detail about the financial part in the history very much. So
gotcha.
So of course the story continues from here, but I'm going to stop because I think that's the version most of us played in school. And so I just wanted to tell the story up until basically that got released and became popular.
Yeah. Fuck all those other versions. Who cares about those?
Well, you know, if I keep going, we're going to be talking about the history of Oregon Trail for like 2 hours, and you know, I don't want to spend that much time on it. So, are you ready for some fun facts?
Yeah.
All right.
The best part of the podcast.
Yeah. So, one fun fact I thought was cool was I was reading an interview, and one of the creators, Bill, was sharing a fun memory of one day he went to a college track meet to watch his daughter run in Oregon. Apparently, she casually mentions to one of her friends, "Did you know my dad wrote the Oregon Trail?" A little bit after that, half the track team is surrounding him, asking him for autographs.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Because he was like, he said at first he didn't get as much, like, what is it, recognition for being a designer of the game. But obviously more recently, and once more and more people found out, you know, he's got more interviews and stuff. But at first, I guess more people just saw Don as the main creator. But I thought that was a fun memory. Like, how often does anyone ask you for your autograph? I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Especially as a game designer. I mean, I would imagine it wouldn't happen that much because you usually don't really know what they look like. So, or at least I don't know what any of the game designers look like of the games I play. Fun fact number two. The game was resurfaced in 2008 when GameLoft created an updated version for cell phones, which became available on iPhone in 2009, and then eventually on Windows phones and some other things a little bit later. But yeah, so they have a cell phone version that you can play on tablets and stuff too.
Is the cell phone version pretty much like the old version?
So it is pretty much the same, but there are a few differences. So one difference on the cell phone version is you have three different wagons you can choose from. So you have a basic wagon, a prairie schooner, and a Conestoga wagon. Cool. And you also, in the cell phone version, you don't buy guns or bullets. So you can train and craft them, I think, throughout the game. But like, you don't have to buy them at the beginning.
Oh, so you're crafting in this version.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta chop down some trees to make some bullets.
I guess. I didn't play the cell phone version, did you?
No, I didn't. I'm just assuming. Like, in my mind, like, crafting is, yeah, just your crafting table and some trees, and you can pretty much do anything.
Yeah, but it pretty much sounds the same. So, fun fact number three. Did you know that there was an Oregon Trail musical?
I did not.
Yeah, it's called...
Is this Oregon Trail based on the Oregon Trail or the Oregon Trail based on the video
game? It's based on the video game. So, it's called The Trail to Oregon! Exclamation point. It's a parody of Oregon Trail video game, and the characters' names are chosen by the audience at the beginning of the show. So kind of like an improv, people shout out the names of the party, and so they choose the names that way. The audience also chooses which characters die at the end of the show.
Fun. I think it's a fun with a question mark.
I would totally go see that. That sounds super fun. But I love that, like, everything has a musical, and I'm here for it.
where was this musical playing?
I have not. Hopefully in Oregon, you know?
Does it still exist?
I don't know. We're going to have to look it up on Ticketmaster or something. But those are my fun facts.
Cool. Yeah, good job.
Were they very fun?
Yeah.
Probably a lot more fun than traveling the Oregon Trail back in the 1800s.
Nah, it sounds like a blast based on the video game.
So real quick, before we get into the pros and cons, I just want to go over the core gameplay concepts that all Oregon Trail games have, pretty much.
Sure.
So you've got your initial supply purchase, occasional food hunting, occasional supply purchases at forts, inventory management of supplies, variable traveling speeds dependent upon the conditions, and frequent misfortunes, and game over upon death or successfully reaching Oregon.
You left out river crossings.
Oh, well, maybe they don't all have river crossings. yeah, and river crossings, Eric, sorry.
What about rafting down at the end?
They didn't list that, okay? I think that's pretty much covered in, you know, variable travel speeds upon conditions, you know.
And I guess they don't all...
I think a river would be included in that.
I guess they don't all include crafting bullets.
No, they don't. Did you craft any bullets in the one you played? Because I didn't.
Nah.
All right, so Eric, what are some of the things that you like about this game?
Okay, yeah. I feel like the game still holds up surprisingly well.
It does.
Maybe this is just the nostalgia talking, but I still enjoy playing the game. It's fun, simple, and challenging.
That's true. I felt like maybe I've got the nostalgia goggles on this week, you know?
Yeah.
Because I still really like this game. It's fun. It's still fun, but yeah, the graphics are pretty simple. I like that you get to name the characters. So you get to name yourself, you get to name all the other party members, and... You know, you can get silly, you can get funny, or you can get perverted.
Yeah, you know, you could do like... You know,
depending on whatever mood you're in.
You pick a show and name your characters from it, like Friends yeah. or Seinfeld or something.
Yeah. I did a game where I named all mine basketball players, so I had Shaq, Charles, Kobe, you know.
It's pretty funny.
It was funny. It's like, Shaq has the measles. No, not Shaq.
One of the things I liked was... I was surprised at how accessible the game is still, like, even today. It's basically free, There's a version that you can play on Visit Oregon's webpage, just if you can pull up a webpage browser. You can find a free download of the Windows version online. Yeah, if you want to play it on a whim, there's nothing really stopping you.
Yeah, it's super easy to find, super accessible, and usually free.
Yeah.
Actually, I went on to Steam to see if it was on there, because I was like, oh, I'll just buy it. It'll probably be like $5 or something.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even on Steam. So you pretty much have to download it from somewhere or yeah. play it on the website.
Yeah, it's just like that old software, that old free software now.
Mm-hmm. So I also like that there's lots of options in the game. Like you can change your speed. You know, you can go slow, strenuous, or like... what's the last one, like riveting or something like that? I don't know. There's like three speeds, pretty much, you know, slow, medium, fast, whatever you want to call it. But
yeah, grueling.
Grueling, yeah. But I like that you can change your speed up, because sometimes you're like, dang, this is taking too long. And if you're all healthy, why not like book it, you know?
Yeah, I think what happens is the health of your party is affected by the speed. Mm-hmm. So... If you try to go at a faster rate, your party's health declines quicker.
Yeah. My last game that I played, I tried to go like strenuous the whole time, yeah. and I was the only one that survived. Whoops. You also have a lot of options of like what kind of character you start out with. So you could be like a farmer, a banker, or some of the other ones.
Yeah, farmer, banker, like a craftsman, like a saddle maker.
Yeah. So you can start out with all these different options, and then once you go to your inventory purchasing part, there's a lot of freedom there, because you pretty much get a set amount of money, but it's up to you what you spend your money on. Do you want a ton of bullets? Do you want, how many outfits do you need? How many pounds of food do you want to do?
But yeah, I like how they do that. Like that's basically your difficulty setting is what your class is, and the higher class characters have an easier time. And that would have been true back in the Oregon Trail days too.
That's true, because just like today, back then money went a long way.
Yeah,
because you can if you have money, you can just easily pay someone to help you cross the river and stuff like that. And if you don't, well, you better figure it out on your own.
Yep.
I also like that this game is really short. You could play 3-4 games in a couple hours if you wanted.
Yeah, I had that approach too. There's a lot of RNG that can affect your run, so being short is actually really nice.
Yeah.
I like the hunting mini game.
Me too. Yeah, the hunting's fun. It can be a little difficult sometimes, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, I feel like the Windows one is a little more challenging and fun, but they're both pretty good.
Yeah, because so we played an older version where you have to use the arrows and the keyboard to hunt with, which is a lot harder. And then we played a slightly newer version where you get to hunt with your mouse.
Oh, really? You thought the keyboard version was harder? I thought the mouse version was harder to actually shoot stuff.
Yeah. Oh, no. I thought the keyboard version was way harder.
I thought the keyboard version was super easy.
Oh, cool. Well... anyways, yeah, so if you want to play one where you use the keyboard to hunt, that's the one on the visitoregon.com, right?
Yeah.
And then the one that we downloaded was the newer one where you hunt with a mouse, which I thought was easier, but I guess Eric thought keyboard hunting was easier.
Yeah.
It's also a game where you get to learn while you play a game.
Wow.
So... one cool thing about this and why it's also nostalgic for us is like in the 80s, 90s, even today, you know, kids play this in school. And we got to play, it was one of the few games that our teacher was like, okay, go play Oregon Trail. And we were all like, yes, we get to play video games in class.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And it was super cool. And like, I mean, you don't learn a lot. But you do kind of get an idea of what it was like for people to travel back in the day, how there was all these hardships and things that they had to overcome, and kind of how long it would take and stuff like that. I mean, you didn't learn like hardcore dates of stuff or anything. I mean, like the years, but like it was more of, I think you learned of like how people lived back then and what traveling was like.
Yeah, I had that as a pro and a con, because there's some, in some regards, like the educational aspect is pretty good. It does a good job of showing how, yeah, like you said, how harsh it can be for the early pioneers. I like how it shows some of the towns and landmarks you would have passed by on the trail. Mm-hmm. I like how the difficulty is dependent on your class.
And you kind of learn like some of the diseases and medical things that they had to deal with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then the resource management aspect. Mm-hmm. I thought that was actually pretty good, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like a pretty good skill to learn, I think, when you're younger.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you have any more pros, Eric?
No, that was pretty much it. But yeah, then do you want to go into cons?
Yeah.
So about the educational aspect was also a con. One of the educational aspects that the game fails pretty hard on is its depiction of Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
The game could have made a bare bones attempt at educating about the different tribes and how their relationships to the settlers would have been different and how relationships got worse over time as more and more settlers came.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it chooses to group up all Native Americans as one big friendly group who will help you find berries and guide you across rivers for sweaters.
Yeah.
It also whitewashes over the harsh treatment of natives who were forcibly relocated off many of the lands that the pioneers were settling.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely could do a lot better job with that. I did read that they made a couple of changes to make it a little less bad, I guess. One of them was, you know, the part where you're like, there's riders ahead and there's like people on their horses ahead.
I think so.
They replaced Indians ahead with riders ahead. And then they also replaced getting tomahawked with getting knifed at another part. So, I mean, they could have done a lot better, but I just thought that was interesting that that was two things that they chose to change.
Okay.
I actually don't really have any cons for this game other than what you just talked about. I couldn't think of too many other things that I didn't like.
I only had one other con, and it's after you've beaten the game a few times, there really isn't much left to do at that point.
Yeah.
You can run up your score or try to beat the game as fast as possible, but you know, there's not a lot of depth beyond that. But that is pretty normal for games of that era. And especially, you know, if you're just playing like a few hours during a history class or something, that's probably fine.
Yeah.
You don't want your students to actually get too into it.
Yeah, that's true. And actually, back in the day when they let us play it at school, I didn't care how many times I played it. I was playing a video game instead of doing actual schoolwork. So I played it a whole bunch of times. I didn't even care.
Oh yeah. I still love this game.
But yeah, as an adult, you know, yeah, I played it like three, four times. I'm like, okay, I don't really see that much of a reason to play it anymore. I don't really think it's going to be that different. I mean, you take the same routes. There's only a couple of parts where you get to choose. Do you want to do a shortcut or do you want to go this way? So once you've done like all those options, it's kind of like, what else is there to do? Really.
So Nikki's strategy.
Yeah.
Do you take the shortcut or do you go to the fort and buy supplies?
Well, I tried a bunch of different ways. I actually like taking the shortcut, especially if you start off wealthier. You don't really need to go buy supplies. Like when I started off as the banker, I really didn't need to buy supplies at any time because I had enough to start out with that I really didn't need to
Also, if you're the farmer, you probably spent all your money already, so going and buying more supplies isn't really an option.
Yeah, true. But I played it, you know, a bunch of different ways, and I tried to mix it up with the shortcuts and then the long ways.
Okay. So, yeah.
But if it was me and I was on the Oregon Trail, I'd probably take a shortcut because I'm impatient.
I think the obvious best strategy is to pick the person with the most money.
Yeah. That's what I said. That's my first piece of strategy. Pick wealthy character. Be rich.
Be rich.
Yeah, if only. If only it was that easy, you know?
Yeah. So you want to stock up at the start of the game because that's where you get the best prices.
Exactly. Make sure you get the most amount of food. I think that's probably the most important.
You see, that's where I differ from you because that was the one thing I felt like you could get away with not stocking a bunch of.
Really?
Yeah, you just make sure you get a bunch of bullets and then you hunt most of the way.
Yeah.
But then as you get more west, like further and further west, things get more expensive. So you want to make sure you stock up at the very beginning of the game.
Mm-hmm. Don't underestimate clothing either because you will be in trouble.
Yeah, when winter comes around, you're going to want all those clothing or your party's going to die off pretty quick.
Also, remember that you can trade for things. So there was like a point where I needed a wagon axle and I had already used all mine. Mm-hmm. And the only way I could get one was to trade for someone. And you don't always get offered the trade the first time. So I had to like try to trade like two or three times before anyone had a wagon axle.
Yeah. The only problem with trying to trade a bunch is that each time you try to trade, I think that takes a day. Away.
Really?
So you have to, you're basically spending a day trying to trade. So
I didn't realize it was taking that long.
If you really need something, you definitely need to trade. But
if it's like your wagon axle, you literally can't go anywhere until you get that fixed. Like it won't let you continue.
Yeah.
So you kind of have no choice.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah.
And also sometimes they try to rip you off. It's like, oh, I'll give you one outfit for one ox. It's like I don't think that's equal, man, but okay, I'll do it because I need to continue.
yeah So like I said, the thing I cut back on is food. I just make sure I have enough bullets to hunt.
But the bullets were kind of expensive, weren't they?
No, they're not.
Okay.
In fact, like I ended up buying way too many bullets because the only like,
well, bullets are good for trading, though, too.
Well, that goes into my next bit of strategy, the hunting. So, obviously don't bother shooting the smaller animals because they don't give you any food.
Yeah, like a rabbit, it's like 1 pound of food or something.
And then you also don't want to overhunt. So once you shoot like a couple big animals, like you don't want to shoot more than that because you're just wasting bullets because you can only carry a certain amount of food back.
Yeah, there's a limit. And you feel wasteful. It's like, oh, you shot 500 pounds of food.
Yeah.
We can only take 200 pounds. So then you just really left 200, you know, you left all that meat behind.
Way too easy to overhunt. So yeah, I would do either like two deer or elk, one bison or one bear. And once I got those numbers, I would pretty much just stop.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you can only carry 100 pounds of food in the 1985 version and then 200 pounds later, like in the Windows version. So just, there were version differences for how much you could carry back to your wagon.
All right, so Eric, did you find anything about the future?
Oh, I'm still doing strategy.
Oh, my bad. How much strategy can you have for this game?
Oh, I still have more, yeah.
All right, go for it.
So resting will improve the health of your party. Did you know that?
Yes. Well, that seems obvious, though. Is that really strategy?
Yeah, so provided that you have it set to filling rations or whatever. Mm-hmm. Rations or rations. So if that, if your party is worse than fair, it's usually a good idea to rest until it improves. I feel like that's not, I didn't know that as a kid.
Or go as fast as possible and see how many people die.
And then also, Nikki and I turned Oregon Trail into a drinking game one night. Well, that was pretty fun.
That's not strategy.
I feel like...
Unless you're trying to get drunk.
You're trying to find an interesting way to make the game fun.
Yeah. Do you want to tell everyone our drinking rules?
Yeah, they were pretty harsh, but... So you take one drink anytime anyone in your party gets sick or injured.
That's a lot.
It happens a lot.
That in itself is just a lot.
You take one drink anytime there's no grass for the oxen.
Which is also
a lot.
Really often.
You take one drink if there is no water or bad water, which is a lot.
That's what happens when you let Eric make up the drinking rules.
You take two drinks if you mess up a river crossing.
I actually didn't mess up a river crossing.
Yeah. Once you kind of know... Well, there's a strategy
for
river
crossing.
Well,
except for once.
So if it's more than like 3 feet deep, then you pretty much have to float across. Bonus strategy.
I learned that the hard way.
Yeah. So three drinks if a party member dies.
Yeah.
And then you finish your drink if the entire party dies.
Yeah. Which only happened to me once.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
It was like funny. The first time I played, everyone got through alive. And I was like, yeah.
This is easy.
Yeah, I think me and your brother were talking about this too, because this happened to him. He's like, first time I played, everybody survived. He was like, this is a piece of cake.
Yeah.
This is going to happen every time. And then it was like every other time we played, like no other game did we have everyone survive. And I was like, thank you. I'm like, I wonder if they do that on purpose. You know, they try to get you falsely amped up thinking you're really good at this game. And then, like, after you play your first game, it's like, ah, sucker. This is how it really is.
Nah, I'm pretty sure it's just RNG. All right. So what did you find for the future, Nikki?
So it's not really the future, but in 2016, Oregon Trail was officially inducted into the Video Game Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a Video Game Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there totes is.
This is a thing that totally exists.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets to decide who's what game gets into the Video Game Hall of Fame? Like, is that just some random guy in a shed?
So the Strong Museum in Rochester, New York, I guess they're the ones that do the World Video Game Hall of Fame.
And that's the only official one, right?
It's the one that I see talked about.
Okay.
So just in kind of a fun fact, bonus fun facts, some other games that were inducted that same year were The Legend of Zelda, The Sims, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Space Invaders.
Cool. All good games.
Yeah, all good games. What did you find?
So the Oregon Trail video game series has had a lot of versions and remakes. The most recent Oregon Trail remake was released in 2021 for iPhone, iPad, with decent reviews. So yeah.
Wow.
There's a very new version of the game if you ever want to play it. But it's on Apple stuff. So you have to have like an iPhone or iPad.
Well, lucky for me.
And whatever.
Did you find anything else?
Yeah. So there's also a parody game called The Oregon Trail, like Oregon as internal organs.
Yeah.
That was released in 2012. It basically takes inspiration from the original game and adds zombies to it.
That's awesome.
I played a little bit
several
years ago, and it was pretty fun. Yeah.
Nice. So is it like the Oregon Trail, but just with zombies?
Pretty much. Yeah.
So you're just like trucking along in your little wagon, and then like, what is it like, instead of hunting for animals, you stop and hunt for zombies or something? Or?
Yeah, the hunting is like, it took inspiration from the 1985 version, and like little resource things will appear, but there will also be zombies appearing from the outside kind of chasing you. So
that sounds cool.
Yeah, you can actually die when you go hunting in this game.
It's funny.
And that's all I had.
Cool. It's a good game. Overall, and if you have kids and you want them to learn about the Oregon Trail, make them play this game.
Yeah, force them to sit at a computer and play this.
Our friend Brittany, she taught fourth grade, and she said she made them play it. So go, Brittany.
Take that, kids.
Yeah.
All right. So I bet you're wondering how I did on this challenge.
Yeah. Did you find your tombstone, your own personal tombstone?
So, yeah, so the achievement that you gave me to do isn't a real thing. I think we might have already talked about that a little bit.
No, we didn't.
Okay, but yeah, that's not a thing.
But it is a thing. You did it.
Well, you can do the thing, but it's like not an achievement. Like, there's no trophy or anything.
Oh, yeah, true. That's true. When I was looking up challenges for this game, I typed in Oregon Trail trophies to try to get ideas for what kind of challenges I could give Eric for this, and I didn't realize that it auto corrected it to the new game you were just talking about with the zombies. Yeah. Oregon Trail as in bodily Oregon Trail. But it didn't really matter, because either way the challenge was doable in both games, but you don't technically get a trophy for the OG Oregon Trail, because like it's not really on anything that gives you trophies. So
yes.
My bad.
So I bet you're interested to know the strategy I used to do this.
But, okay, so refresh everyone's memory on what your challenge was.
So my challenge was to find my own tombstone.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Did you do it?
Yes.
Okay. How did you do it?
Thanks, Nikki. So the way I went about doing this is I would leave with zero resources and two ox, because, you know, it doesn't let you leave without a few ox.
So you were on a mission to die right away.
Yeah, so okay. I wanted my party to die as close to Independence, Missouri as I could. I had to do it a couple times, but yeah, it was like, just go a little bit out of Independence and then just rest.
I feel like this is cheating. So you basically did it so that you knew you could find your tombstone at the beginning of the game.
Exactly.
Cheater, cheater.
So I would just do that with a party. They would die. I would do it with another party. They would die. I do it with a third party, and that's when I found the tombstone.
So it only took you three tries to get the challenge.
Yeah, you just have to wipe out your entire party.
You only have to be heartless and just murder everyone. Just, hey guys, let's go. You want to go on the Oregon Trail with me? Yeah, Eric, it sounds like a good time. And Eric's like, I'm only two ox. You're not getting any food, any bullets.
Like, and then we're going to rest right outside of
basically a death trip. You want to go on this death trip with me?
I'm just going to go a mile out here and then rest forever.
Everything will totally be fine. All right, whatever. So you got the trophy, the metaphorical trophy that doesn't exist.
I did. It was fun.
And it only took you three tries. That's lame.
I
was hoping it'd be harder than that.
I enjoyed it.
So if you're listening, what challenge would you have given Eric for Oregon Trail? Because I don't know. It was kind of challenging coming up with a challenge.
Yeah, I agree. It would have been like maybe a score challenge or, I don't know, be the game with the farmer and like get four or five party members to the end alive or something. Because or that's like, kind of tough.
You have to kill 50 bison.
God.
Something that would be hard.
You have to.
That'd be a lot of wasted meat, too.
To wipe out the species.
All right, so I'm a little nervous. I always get nervous when it's your turn to pick the game.
Oh, this is going to be a fun one. I think you're going to like.
You always pick hard challenges.
I feel like this challenge isn't too hard.
Mm-hmm. You say that every time. I don't even know if I should trust you at this point.
Okay, so the next game we're going to do is a music/rhythm game.
Ooh, that's cool.
Do you want to try guessing?
I don't know that many, so I'm going to guess the ones I know. Guitar Hero.
No.
Okay. Sing Star.
No. Okay, I'm going to give you another hint. I'm going to give you five of the songs that are on the soundtrack for this game.
Songs that are on the soundtrack. Okay.
So Avril Lavigne, Skater Boy. Chicago, You're the Inspiration. Destiny's Child, Survivor. Good Charlotte, The Anthem. And Ashley Simpson, La La.
Okay, so this had to come out in the early 2000s. Or like around 2005 or something.
I was going to say, do you want to guess the release year for this game if you can't guess that the game?
Okay, I'm guessing around 2000, early 2000s. So 2005. 2004.
You're really close. 2006.
Oh, so close. But the only, I can't really think of it that many rhythm or like music games. So.
Okay. So this is actually a game on the Nintendo DS.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've ever played any games on the DS before.
This will be fun. Yeah. This is called Elite Beat Agents.
Okay.
And your challenge is to beat all levels. Getting at least a C on the difficulty setting Breezin, which is the easiest one.
Okay.
There's four difficulty settings, so it gets much, much harder.
Oh, God.
But okay. This is just the easiest difficulty setting.
But I have to play this on the DS.
Yes.
So we're going to have to share your DS.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem.
Have you played this game before?
Yeah, it's a really good game.
Wow. I'm surprised. It's not your typical game that you usually play.
Yeah. It's fun though.
Cool. Well, I mean, those songs sound fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun.
Okay, sweet. All right, well, I guess we'll see everybody next time.
All right, bye.
Bye. As always, if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. And as always, we would love to know what you thought of Oregon Trail. If you played it when you were in school, like, what did you think about it? Let us know. Bye.